You are the army of God. Say, I am the army of God. Say, I'm a woman, if you're a woman. David, you're not a woman. If you're a woman, say, I'm a woman of valor and virtue. All right, if you're a man, say, I'm a man. Look like a man, I'm a man. Of valor and destiny. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to read a quick scripture to you, and I'm going to hand this over to my brother in the Lord. You ready? You guys ready for Gabriel tonight?
Yeah.
2 Timothy verse 3, I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and now in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan to flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. God did not give you, Gabriel, a spirit of timidity. But a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. Not to be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Amen. But join with me in his suffering for the gospel, for by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. So I charge you, Gabriel, to preach the word of God by his grace with power and authority and a sound mind in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys ready to hear the word? Let's do it.
Awesome. Hallelujah. I'm excited. You excited? I have like three translations of the Bible tonight. Which one should I read? I have the... I did bring that one. I think I'm going to preach from the NIV tonight. Just because... How many of us have an NIV in here tonight? Yeah, see? Okay. Who has the... I didn't bring that one. That's at home. Good. Well, I got a lot to say and a little time to say it in, so we got to get rolling here. I was blessed by the prophetic tonight, just by the words that were given and by the worship. I believe in prophetic ministry. I believe that God speaks to us prophetically right now for today. I'm a firm believer in that. And especially the worship, just Christina, the word she gave, this really blessed me. It was unreal. And James, the tithe, it was... Wow, it brought something to my soul. It was good. I'm excited. It seems like every time I preach, something happens prophetically before I preach. And it's like, I don't even need to come up here and preach. I think everything's already happened. So I could just read the scripture and go home, but we're going to get into it tonight. I was sitting downstairs preparing, and I usually don't do this. I usually don't tell people what happened when I was preparing. I don't think it's right. But I was getting ready to walk out of the room, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go and pray with my mishpoka, which is family in Hebrew. And I was wanting to go pray with my family. And the Lord said, I want to say something to you. So I said, all right. So I sat down. He said, I want you to invite me. And I thought, Lord, I always invite you. You're invited. And he said, no, I want you to invite me. And he started specifically telling me to worship and to the altar time. And I said, Lord, I invite you. I invite you to the worship and the altar time, the prayer, and even to my message. And when I said, I invite you into my message, I saw him laughing. God laughs at me quite a bit lately. It's pretty funny. But he was laughing. I thought, why are you laughing? And he goes, he kind of revealed it to me, and he showed me. He said, you're going to invite me to your message? Whose message is this? But no, and it was really good. And then he started speaking to me and saying, do you know who I am? He said, I'm the inviter. He said, I'm the one who invites. See, there too many times when we pray, we say, Lord, come. Lord, come. We invite you. And I've been doing this for a while since I've been a believer. And he's really rocked my cash bar tonight. And he really showed me. No, 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 no. I invite you. I'm the one who chose you. And it's really cool that Lauren, right? Lauren, when she gave that word, that was right on. That there's a banquet. Not just tonight, but every night. In your room by yourself, there's a banquet. And the Lord's waiting for you. And you don't need to invite him. He's already here. He's already there with you. He's waiting for you. You're invited. Do you know what that means? You're invited. He's the invitor tonight. I'm excited. So open up your Bibles. I love the Gospel of John. It's my favorite gospel. So since it's my favorite gospel, we're going to go to John chapter 1. Right in the beginning. It's good, good stuff. You're invited. You're invited. He's already here. He's already here. You're invited. All right. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, this don't, yeah, oh my. Oh my. All right. We're going to get going here. All right. Chapter 1, verse 35. Come on, get there. Chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus' ministry begins right here. And this is what it says. The next day, John was there. Some translations say he was standing there, which is very significant. But he was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by is very significant. He said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turned around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means, or translated, teacher. Rabbi, where are you going? Teacher, where are you going? He says, come. He replied, and you will see. Go ahead and go with me to Matthew chapter 6. You don't really have to go there, but you can go there if you'd like. It's a great scripture. Verse 31, I'm just going to read it because we don't have time. So I'm going to read it. Verse 31 through 33. It's a very popular scripture. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. That was 34. John chapter 15. We're going back to John. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to preach. Because I haven't preached in a long time, and so something might come out tonight. It's going to be good. I'm going to be edified by preaching. All right, here we go. Chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. The word remain in some translations is also the word abide. It's the word meno in Greek. Very interesting, very important in this message tonight. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, or abide in his love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that you are the invitor tonight. God, that you are always the one who invites. God, we thank you that you are already here tonight, stirring in our hearts and speaking to us, Lord. God, we acknowledge your greatness. And God, I pray, Lord, as I bring the word, Lord, that you would do something. God, because if you don't do something, nothing's going to happen tonight. And God, we're here for a miracle. We're here to be changed and to be transformed. So, Father, I ask that you'd have your way in us tonight. God, use me to speak your word. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're good. You're good, Lord. In Jesus' name. Awesome. 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 So my title of my message tonight is, what do you want? What do you want? And the subtitle, I would say, is whatever. Whatever. I don't even understand it right now, but it's kind of coming to me. So what do you want? I was thinking about this the other day about, I was going shopping a while back. I was shopping for shoes. We love shoes, don't we? Something about Americans just love shoes. I go to some girl's house and they have like 50 pairs of shoes for like, different ones for like their type of day and the mood they're feeling and the hour of the day and the day time of the month and all these other things. It's like, oh my, it's right. It's unreal. It's unreal. So I'm sitting down and I'm sitting there on the bench and I'm just chilling. And you know how we just kind of go to the mall and we just sit down. We're like looking at shoes and we don't even know what we want. We're just sitting there just looking. You know what I mean? It's kind of funny how people just go to the mall just to walk around. just kind of walk around and just kind of do their thing. And just kind of, you know, just walk around. It's fun, looking at store to store. And anyway, I was sitting there, and this lady walked up to me, and I'm sure every single person in there can testify to this, that this has happened in their life before. But she walks up, and she looks at me, and she goes, "Can I help you?"
Or,
"What do you want?"
Or even,
"What are you looking for?" And I thought, and we've all been there before, right? We're like, shoot, I don't know what I want. I'm just kind of chilling here, man. Just kind of hanging out, looking at the pairs of shoes. It's good. I was thinking about this and how there's so many options in the world. I was thinking about the banquet that Lauren gave the... Laura. Hallelujah. Good. Laura. Thank you for Laura. So I was thinking about this, the banquet, and how there's so many options of food. I mean, you right here in the square mile, there's probably 30 different types of foods. There's so many different types of shoes. There's different types of cars. There's different kinds of trucks. There's different types of glasses. There's different types of clothing. There's so many different kinds of things. Like I said, there's so many different kinds of Bibles. I have 7 translations of Bibles in my bedroom. 7. I when I wake up in the morning, I don't know which one to read. The Lord says, "Read my word," and I get confused for the next 15 minutes because I don't know what to read. There's so many options. It's unreal. And I was thinking about this word want, and how babies growing up, they're always like, "Mom, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that, and I want," and even maybe when we're even 17, 18, 19, we're still, "Mom, I want this, and I want that, and I want," and I was hanging out with my brother from another mother, but the same father, Maya, the other night, and he said, "I want to build my dog a dog house." I thought, really? Do you really want to? And this word just kept coming up to me. What do you want? What's the word want? And I started thinking, you can't teach a want. That makes sense? You can't teach somebody's want. You can't teach somebody to want Jesus. You can't say, okay, now, you need to want the Lord, okay? It just doesn't work. You can't teach a want. You can't teach somebody to want a certain type of shoe. They just have their own desires. They have their own just preference. We all have our own wants, our own desires. We all have our own things that we seek for. That when I sit down and look at a pair of shoes, one shoe might look beautiful to me, and when the lady asks me what I want, it might be just ugly to her. So we all have our own types of wants, and a want is cannot be taught because it's yours. It's your want. Nobody can teach you your want. Your want is given to you, maybe by your experience in your life, but it's your want. It's your desire. It's the thing that you seek after. And I was thinking about things that we want and how we have preferences. We all prefer certain things. Growing up with my parents, I worked a lot. Yeah, I was spoiled, but I worked a lot. I did a lot of things. For instance, every summer, we have 7 decks. 7, not 4. And the decks aren't the size of this little area right here. No, the decks are bigger than this room. We have 7 of them, 7 or 8. Huge decks. And every summer, my dad wants us to sand it, right? The whole thing. Every summer, every nick and cranny, every little part of the whole deck, every summer. I don't know why, but I never really asked him because I was so upset with him. But every summer, he had to sand this dang thing down. And one day he came home, and my part was this one deck, and he came home, and he started yelling at me, "Boy! You didn't do it the way I told you to do it." I thought, "Dad, why are you talking in an accent? You're American, Dad." You know? And he kind of laughed at me, and he said, okay. But he said, "You didn't do it the way I want it done." And I was thinking about this, and my dad would tell me to go clean the living room, go vacuum the living room. My mom would come screaming, running at me. No, he doesn't do it the way I want it done. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. I don't gotta do it, because she would take it from me and she started vacuuming because I didn't do it the way she wanted it done. And my dad would come and start yelling at me, and then we'd all get in a fight, and good times, because I didn't do it the way they wanted it done. We all have our own preferences. We all want our thing done a certain way. We all have our wants, our certain things that we want things done. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about my dad and how he wanted it done a certain way. He wanted it done a certain way. But I wanted to cut the corners and kind of do it my own way. Because my own way might be easier. My own want might be more satisfying to my soul because it's my want. I was thinking about GM. I think a lot. I was thinking about GM in this ministry. And I was thinking, you know, we're in a series of commitment. And I think the biggest thing for commitment is you got to want something. You got to want it to be committed to it. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be committed to something you don't want. You know, I walked out of that store, and I didn't have any shoes in my hand. And when I remember when the lady, she said to me, "What do you want?" And I remember thinking, "I don't know." But the real answer, when I walked out of that room, I realized I really didn't want anything because I didn't buy anything. When you really want something, you'll do anything for it. When you really want something, you'll do anything for it. Why? Because you just want it. What's the night after Thanksgiving that everybody goes shopping? What's that called? Black Friday. That just blows my mind. I love my sleep, and people stay up all night long waiting in line to go, and forgive me if you're one of those people, that's awesome, but I just don't want that. I just don't care. It's interesting what we'll do when Halo 2 came out. I had some of my best friends that waited in line for that Halo 2 to come out, and it's interesting that it's going to be there in the next day. Why are you waiting? So we'll do anything for our want, for the things that we want, for the things that we'll desire, we'll do anything for. And you're not going to be committed to Generation Ministries unless you want it. It's funny, isn't it, Sarah? So John chapter 1, verse 35, says this. Well, let's break it down a little bit. John was there. He was standing there, right? He was standing there. This is very, very awesome. The Bible says that Jesus was passing by. See, in this moment, John the Baptist's ministry just ended. He was standing. His ministry just ended, and Jesus was passing by. His ministry just began. Something just happened in the heavenlies. But Jesus' ministry just began. Jesus hadn't said anything yet. He hadn't said one thing yet, according to John. Maybe he'd said something all the way till that point, but up to this point in the Gospel of John, there's no red letters except right before here. It says that he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And I don't know how loud he said it, but I think that it was pretty loud for them to hear. And anyway, the Bible says they go and follow him. And the word "follow" in the Greek can be translated also as the word pursue. It could be obey. It's a very interesting word that they were following after him. They were pursuing him. They were wanting to obey him, obey his commands. And it's interesting what Jesus says. He turns around. And a lot of times when we're following Jesus, sometimes he's going to turn around and ask us a question. And it's interesting what sometimes we need him to ask a specific question. And he says, "What do you want?" Some translations say, "What do you seek? What do you desire? What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" I ask that question a lot. Sometimes I give the nugget. I said, "Why are you here? And I love you. I do. I might not know you very well, but I love you. I'd do anything for any of these ladies in here because they're my sisters. And some of you guys, I don't know, but I love you guys. But what do you want?" Now this morning, I want you to really think about this. Don't think about me, Gabriel's up here talking to you, but talk to your heart. What do you want? What do you seek? What are you looking for? And I think it's very interesting because these men were already following Jesus. They were already walking after him. They were already pursuing him and obeying what he was saying. That word "follow" is a very interesting word. They were already pursuing him and obeying him, right? But he turns around and says, "What do you want?" And I don't know what I would have said. I probably would have been like, "Oh, wow, Jesus." You know, I probably would have walked away. But I was thinking about Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve sinned. The fall of man. They went and hid themselves behind bushes, behind leaves. They went and hid themselves behind bushes or leaves. God walks in the cool of the day on the earth, and he says, "Where are you? Hey, Adam, where are you?" And now either our God is the all-knowing, all-seeing eyes of God, didn't know where he was, or he was asking Adam, "Do you know where you are? Adam, what do you want? Adam, where are you? What do you want? What do you want?" Our heart is the seat of all desires. It's where our heart sits. Or sorry, that's where the desires sit, is in our heart. We have our wants. We have our desires. And what do you want? God's asking that tonight. He's passing by. And he's turning around. He's saying, what do you want? What are you looking for in me? Are you looking to be a leader? Are you looking to have that 412 niche? Maybe there's a hot girl in our ministry and you want to be a believer just so you can get with her. What do you want? Maybe vice versa. Maybe there's a good-looking guy in our ministry and you're after Jesus just for this thing. I find it very interesting. The very first thing in the Gospel of John that Jesus says is, what do you want? Where are you? What are you looking for? And I love the response. I think this is discipleship 101. This is following Jesus 101. I love the response. This is what they say in the same verse. They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? But I don't think they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Or, Rabbi, where are you staying? I don't think that they went like as fast as they possibly could in saying the whole Rabbi thing. I think that they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Because the word rabbi is very significant. See, today in our day, the word rabbi isn't very significant to us unless you really understand what was going on. But the word rabbi was very significant. It was honoring. It was being reverent to somebody. It was being reverent to a teacher. See, today the truth is that still applies. God still has that for us. We're supposed to have reverence for Pastor Josh Tanner. He's our pastor. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that all the believers had reverence for their leaders. They were in reverent between God. They're in reverent between their leaders. We need to have reverence for our pastor. But that's besides the point. It's a whole other message. Glory to God. But they say rabbi. And we have to know a little bit of the background in the Old Testament of the word rabbi. Now the word rabbi, when they were about 5 years old in first grade, they had to know about the first five, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not knowing the exact ages, but they had to know about the first five books of the Bible. They had to memorize them. Where in America, we have to know our ABCs, they had to know the first five books of the Bible. Now, if they took a test, and if they didn't pass the test, then they just kind of went and did their own thing. They went and did their own things that they should have did. Now, they didn't. Not that everybody wanted it, but their parents would make them do that. They just had to do that. And as time went on, they took tests every other year, and as they got older, just kind of like we take tests in our days, but when they turned about 16 years old, they'd been taking tests, and they had to know basically almost the whole Bible, which was the Old Testament, the Torah. And so, at 16, they would go to this guy, and he'd be the guy, the head guy of the temple, what we would call as a pastor. Our pastor, he's the head of the youth ministry. He's a pastor in our church. And they'd go to them, and they would say, Rabbi, I want to follow you. In other words, the word rabbi is saying, I want to mimic you. I want to imitate you. I want to do what you do. The idea of a rabbi was that the rabbi would take his yoke, the things that he knows, everything that he does and believes in, and he would put it on you so that now you mimic him, you imitate him, and you do whatever he says. That's just the way it was. And so when these fishermen, they were never accepted, the idea that they were fishermen, they weren't accepted. They didn't pass the test. They were fishing because they didn't pass the test. And they were doing their thing with their parents because they didn't make it. They didn't cut the slack. They didn't do the way they should have been doing it. Rabbi, they said. Jesus says, what do you want? They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? The word of staying is the same word, abide. Where are you abiding? It's the same word, meno, in Greek. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but it's the same word in Greek as the word in John chapter 15, 9 through 14, where it says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, right? It's the same word about where are you abiding? Where are you staying? Where is your dwelling place? Rabbi, they said. In other words, I want to mimic you. Jesus says, what do you want? They say, I want to mimic you. I want to do what you want me to do. Whatever you say, I'll do it, Jesus. But they didn't stop there. They said, where is your dwelling place? Where do you abide? Because I want to abide where you abide. I want to dwell where you dwell. What do I want? I want what you want. They had an attitude of discipleship. They had an attitude of what discipleship is supposed to be. You call yourself a Christian. I love you. But do you have the attitude of these men? Andrew and the other guy that's unknown. The Bible doesn't really say, but some theologians believe it was John, the guy who wrote the book, Gospel of John. They had the attitude of discipleship. The attitude of, I want what you want. What do you want? A lot of us think about that. And we're thinking, what do I really want? There's so many options. These fishermen, what was it? Jesus turns around, he looks at him. What do you want? What are you following me for? You can go back fishing. Was fishing not good enough for you?
Something to think about. To say, I want what you want, man. Shoot. I want what you want. John chapter 2, don't go there. You don't have to go there. Verses 1 through 5. Who knows about John chapter 2? It's the story of there's a wedding, a banquet. A wedding. They're having a blast. Thank you that Jesus loves to have a blast. He was invited, and so were his disciples, and so was his mother. Right off the get-go. They're at this wedding. They're hanging out, and they're doing their thing, and they ran out of wine. The Bible, some translations say... translations, there's so many different options. Some translations... I love the NIV, but it just doesn't say exactly what I want it to say. Some translators say they were in want, or they were in need of wine. They had no wine. They were in need of it. They were in want of it. They were desiring wine. And so Jesus' mother, Mary, says, Jesus, they have no wine. And he says, woman. Which I don't recommend anybody to do that to your mom. But they said, woman. They said, she said, this isn't my time or my hour. What do you? And I love Mary. I love his mom. I'm not a Holy Mary thing. I'm not worshiping Mary. But I love her attitude. Because she has the attitude of discipleship also. And this is what she says in verse 5, chapter 2 of John, verse 5. She tells the servants who are following, who are doing their thing they're supposed to be doing. And she says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Some translations say, do whatever he tells you to do. Do it can also be as... do it now. It can be translated, do it now. Whatever he tells you to do, do it now. The attitude of discipleship. Jesus, what do you want? What are you looking for? What is it in me that you're after? I want to mimic your dwelling place. Jesus, I want whatever you want. It's the whatever attitude. Come on. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. What do you want? Whatever. All right, let's go home. I'm just kidding. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. Abraham offers up Isaac. He offers up his son. And I love what the scripture says. The Lord said, Abraham, offer up your son as a burnt offering, so on and so forth. And I love what the Bible says. The first thing, Abraham doesn't argue. He doesn't say, but. He doesn't say, the Bible says he saddled up. Got on his donkey and went and did what the Lord told him to do. It didn't say tomorrow. It just said he did what he was supposed to do. Right now, he saddled up. Some of us need to saddle up. Saddle up and do whatever he tells us to do. Genesis chapter 29. Jacob and Rachel, love the story. I'm in that kind of mode right now with my girlfriend, the Jacob and Rachel, how Jacob waited for Rachel. He waited for 7 years. He said, I think his name was Moab, the dad. I want your daughter. Laban, so many names in the Old Testament. I want your daughter. And he said, okay, well, serve me 7 years. Make a long story short. I love it. They're like, and 7 years later, it's like, what happened between that time? But 7 years later, he married, or he actually took a sister. But the point is that he waited. He ended up getting with the woman. He actually, after he married, he got the one sister, and then he had to get the other one. I don't know what I want in that situation, but they got, no, that sounded wrong. Wow. Okay. But I love their attitude. I love Jacob's attitude. He had the attitude of whatever. Hey, I want your daughter. Serve me 7 years. And you don't hear him complaining and going, the Bible says he just did it 7 years later, right? He had the attitude of whatever. Exodus chapter 24. Joshua waits on the mountain with Moses for 40 days and 40 nights.
Once again, the Bible never indicates that Joshua was complaining or whining, but he had the attitude of whatever. He says, Moses, I'll do whatever you tell me to do because you're my rabbi. You're my pastor. You're the one I'm following. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And he goes up there. I don't know if he got a break. I don't know if he went down, but it does say he waited for 40 days and 40 nights. He's a man of God. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. The prodigal son, a very, very, very popular story. Prodigal son. Love it. Bible says he went away. He was eating with the pigs, eating with the swine, eating of the junk and the feces and the pee, all that disgusting stuff that I don't want to talk about. But the point is that he was doing things horrible. And the Bible says that he came to his senses. He came to his senses and he realized something. He said, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to tell my father, Father, make me as one of your hired servants. Make me as one of your hired servants. He came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he had the attitude of whatever. John, Gospel of John, same gospel. Chapter 6, verse 68. About 20 verses before that, the Bible says that Jesus is at the festival, and he says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. The Bible says that many followers of Jesus left him. What do you want? I think when Jesus was saying that, it's very significant, it's very prophetic. It's a very significant verse. It's a whole other message. But the point was, I think that inside of that verse, he was saying, what do you want? See, because that very, very wording, even today, it's like, eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Dude, what in the world? See you later, Jesus. You know, Bible said that some guys still stayed. And I love Peter because he had the attitude of whatever. He says, Lord, where else will I go? Where else will I go? You have the words of eternal life. This is verse 68. John chapter 6. You have the words of eternal life. Where else would I go? I don't care what you say. I don't care if it hurts my feelings. I don't care if it goes along with my doctrine. This is what you've told me to do. And I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do because you're my Lord. You're my rabbi. You're my pastor. You're the one I follow. I want to mimic you. This is the attitude of discipleship. This is the attitude of commitment. We got to have this attitude. Acts chapter 16. Come on, I'm still going. There's some more scriptures in here about the whatever attitude. Acts chapter 16, verse 3. Paul comes to Timothy. I love this one. I'm so glad Josh does not do this to me. Glory to God. John chapter 16, verse 3. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to say it real quick. Sorry, Acts chapter 16, verse 3. Paul says to Timothy, I don't really know the exact wording, but basically, Paul says, hey, Timothy, you need to get circumcised, bro. Dude, the guy was probably, I don't know, is there any Bible scholars? I think he was like 18, 19. He's a man, dude. He probably had, I don't know if he had kids. Circumcision? Now, if you ask me, I don't know what I would say. I'd be like, dude, Paul, I love you. You're a man of God. But, dude, I'm going to go follow Billy. You know what I mean? But Timothy had the attitude of whatever. He said, circumcision? Okay. They went into a tent. Bam! Right there, they got circumcised. Right then and there. He's a man of God. Come on. He had the attitude of discipleship. He had the attitude of whatever. Hey, circumcision? Okay. The Bible, once again, it never says that he argued or complained. It doesn't matter if it hurts. It doesn't matter if it doesn't feel good. See, I don't think Timothy wanted it. Do you think Timothy wanted to get circumcised? No. But he did it anyway. It doesn't matter what you want. God wants something for you. And his will isn't always your will. It might hurt. He might have to do some cutting. But when he tells you to do something, we need to have the attitude of whatever, Lord. Go get my junk cut, you know? that was a little too far. Circumcision. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. Come on, we're still going. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. Paul says, I will not eat meat and I will not drink wine if it causes my brother to stumble. Come on. Come on. Not eat steak? There's got to be something better out there if I can't eat steak. This is the attitude of discipleship. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what I want, right? It's what somebody else wants. This is what the Lord wants. If it's going to cause my brother to stumble, I don't want it. If it's going to cause my brother to stumble, I don't want it. I'm not going to drink wine. I'm not going to go watch some stupid movie. I don't want it that bad. I'm not that thirsty for a stinking rated R movie. If there's men of God following me in here, and you think that Spider-Man 3 is a bad movie, I'm going to watch it. I'm not that desperate. Because I want what he wants. What? I don't know. Something just kind of happens in your heart. What do you want? Acts chapter 4. One more. No, I got three more. Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. They're preaching. John and Paul are talking to the authorities. Talking to them. Chilling. I don't think they're chilling. I think they're getting an argument. And the authorities say, do not preach the name of Jesus again. Don't do it again. And what do they say? I can't help it. Both of them said it. I don't know how they said it. It must have been like a rhyme. They were both like, jinx, and started playing around. But the Bible says that both of them said it. They're like, I can't help but preach the name of Jesus. I can't help preach what I've seen. I can't help talk about what I've seen and what I've heard. I can't help it. It's just inside of me. It's something that I want. I can't help it. Whew. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus in the garden. Every time I think about the scripture, I think about Mariah Sutherland, a woman of God right here. Because she preached one of her first messages. I think it was her first one she preached in this auditorium. It was an awesome message. I don't really remember the name, but it was really good. You can get it on podcast. Glory to God. Jesus in the garden. And I don't know about you guys, but circumcision. Crucifixion. It probably doesn't feel good. I'm sorry. Circumcision, Lord, help me. Crucifixion probably doesn't feel good. It probably isn't the best feeling thing in the world. But I love what Jesus says. He says, Lord, if there's any way, if this cup can pass from me, let it be done. But not my will. Let your will be done. Whatever. Whatever. John chapter 4. I love this scripture. I love the story of the woman at the well, but I'm not going to talk about it. John chapter 4. Jesus' disciples go down the hill. They go get some food. They were in want. They were in need of food. They went and got some food. When we're hungry, we're in want of food, we're going to get some food. Probably get some Applebee's after this, huh? But when we're in want of food, we go get food. So they went down and got some food. Jesus, in the meantime, is talking to this woman. He's evangelizing this woman. He's loving on this woman. He prophesies over her, and she gets saved. The whole neighborhood gets saved. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for that neighborhood. But the point is that when they came back up, the Bible says that Peter, I think it was Peter, says, who brought food for Jesus? Like, nobody brought food for him. They're like, stupid people. I should have brought food for him. And they're probably arguing about it. And, you know, who's the one that brought food for Jesus? And I love Jesus' response. John chapter 4, verse 34. He says, my will, my want, my desire is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. My food is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Come on. That's our food. Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Come on, we know the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All of a sudden, when he becomes your rabbi, When he becomes the one you're following, the one that's leading you, you don't want things anymore. I don't want to go watch something that's going to cause me to sin, that's going to cause my brother to stumble. I don't want it no more because I want what he wants. He leads me into good pastures. He leads me into calm waters because he's my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's my Lord, and he's going to take care of me. Everything that I want, he's going to give it to me if I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We got to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Something happens in our heart. Something happens in our heart when we realize that he's our shepherd.
A want to has to be made. Let me tell you something. I've been a believer for 3 years. I didn't wake up the next morning all of a sudden, oh, I can't wait to just go worship and just go sing. I just want to do everything for Jesus. I was drinking and having sex and smoking and chewing and doing all the things of the world 3 days before. Some of us are delivered from, and some of us are delivered through. And I was delivered from a lot of things. But let me tell you something. A want to doesn't just happen overnight. He has to make you. Matthew chapter 4. I don't know exactly where it is, but somewhere in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I want to make you fishers of men. When you follow him, when he becomes your rabbi, when he becomes your teacher, your good shepherd, when he becomes the one who is in your eye, in your heart, when you start realizing that he's the only one, he's my salvation, he's my redeemer, he's my healer, he's my teacher, he's my counselor. Come on, he's the beginning and the end. He is the one. When we realize that and we say, Lord, I want to follow you. He says, okay, all right. I'm going to make you then. Fishing. Fly fishing. The only reason why anybody would go fly fishing on the Russian River in June or July is because they want to. Fishing for men. Evangelizing. You don't just do it because, you gotta go do evangelism again, stupid. And, hey, you know, you're going to hell. Okay, next, you know. I mean, it doesn't just, you guys get what I'm saying? I hope so, because I've said it about 400 times. He wants to do something on the inside of you. The Bible says in John chapter 14, 15, or 16, somewhere in that area. No, it's chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus says, I want to climb on the inside of you and make my home in you. Me and my Father, we're going to climb on the inside of your heart, on the inside of the seat of all your desires. And I'm going to sit in that place. I'm going to sit in the place where you desire things. The place where things, all of a sudden, urges come out. And all of a sudden, something starts happening. And as time goes on, and as you follow him, he's going to make you. The Bible doesn't say, I'm going to made you. He says, I'm going to make you. Making cookies takes a while. Making a follower of Jesus Christ, making a man of God, making a woman of God takes a while. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you're not feeling good. If the Lord tells you not to do something and you don't want to do it, it doesn't matter what you want. Don't listen to your feelings. Listen to the Lord, because he's going to tell you to do something. And as you follow him, and as you realize he's your shepherd, as you realize he's the good shepherd, he's the Lord of lords, and he's the King of kings, and he comes inside your heart, he's going to give you a want to. He's going to give you a desire, but you got to keep following. You can't just let those things that come in your way. I don't want circumcision. I don't want to give up my son. I don't like the whole blood in the eating my flesh and drinking my blood. It doesn't matter what you want. It's what he wants. And he wants to do something in your heart. See, the Lord's passing by, and a lot of us are following him right now. There's a lot of followers right now in this room. And he's turning around tonight. He's saying, what do you want? And it's okay. Because if you don't want what he wants, it's okay. Verse 39. Come and see. Hey, there's a banquet. Hey, there's a banquet. There's a banquet. There's a place of gathering. You're invited. It doesn't matter what you want right now.
Yes, there's so many options. Yes, there's so many decisions. Yes, you need to be committed. It doesn't matter what you want to be committed to right now. The Lord wants to make you. Maybe there's some of us in here, I don't know. But maybe there's some of us in here who haven't accepted the Lord. He hasn't come and lived in your heart yet. He wants to come and live in your heart tonight. And maybe there's some of us in here who have accepted Him. And He is in our heart. And we are a believer. And we're all our follower. And He's our rabbi. But is He really your rabbi? Something to think about. Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm following Him. And yes, there's times where I don't want to do things that He tells me to do. But I do it because I have an attitude of whatever. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You might not want Him tonight, but He wants you. You might not feel like, oh, I'm not invited, or I don't really want to go in to the banquet, to that dining place with God Almighty, but He wants you. You might have done some horrible things in the past few days, in the past few weeks. It doesn't matter, because He wants you. The attitude of whatever is, Lord, not what I want, but what You want. Lord, not my will, but Your will. That's commitment 101. Commitment doesn't just come all of a sudden you get saved and you start being committed and you start doing everything for Jesus. No, you have to seek Him. He says, come and see. There's no promises. He doesn't say, come and everything's going to be pretty. The flowers are going to be beautiful. You're not going to hurt. There's no promises in that scripture. He just says, come and see. Come and see what I have for you. Because the good shepherd, He has something better than what you want. His desire for you is better than what you want. See, that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Is His will for you is greater than your will for yourself. His want for you is greater.
I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Josh, and he can do what he wants. But I urge you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, I urge you, seek Him tonight. Come and see.
Amen, that's a good word. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? Amen. If Gabriel's not a pastor, I don't know what one is. What do you want tonight? What do you want? I'm sitting there just feeling a little bit convicted. I don't know about you. It's about what I really want. And I think this would be a good chance for us to just kind of make it right. What do you think? We need to want His desires in our life. That's the bottom line, right? You guys ready to make it right? You ready? Amen. Then let's pray. You guys want to pray together? Let's do it. Heavenly Father. Come on, Heavenly Father. With all my heart, I ask You to forgive me for just wanting what I want and not being concerned about what You want. Forgive me now, Heavenly Father. I choose to forgive myself for not wanting what You want and for my selfish desires. In the name of Jesus and by the power of His blood, I cancel all of Satan's power and authority over me because I am forgiven. And You are good. You are my good shepherd. You are my good Heavenly Father. And it is finished. Holy Spirit, come heal my heart. Make my wants Your wants. My desires Your desires. My love Your love. Change my heart. Renew my mind. And speak to me, Lord. Reveal Your truth to me. I want You to listen. What do You see? What do You hear? Focus your heart on Him. What is He telling you to do? If He tells you to do something, Write it down. Don't forget it. Etch it into your heart. Thank you, God. I just want to pray over you. So if you want to receive a blessing, I encourage you to lift your hands. Just surrender to the Lord. If you want to be blessed. Father God, I just reach out my faith to you. I choose you today, God. I love you today. Father, I speak blessing over your people in Jesus' name. God, that you would move in power over their lives. God, that they would hear your voice and they would know your desires, God. That your desires would be on their heart, God. That your blessings would be upon them, God. That you would illuminate their path by the light of your word, by the light of your love, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for these young people in front of me. God, I speak life and blessing to the gifts and the calling in their life. Lord, you've called them to be men and women of valor and of virtue. You've called them to stand firm upon your rock, your word. You've called them to do mighty and great works for you. So I speak that great work upon their life, that thing that is in their heart, that deep desire that you made them for, that you willed them for. I speak life to that thing in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now that you would fan a flame to that gift that was put inside of them. I commission you now to go and do that which God has willed you for, that God has designed you for. Young person, you are willed by God. You are commissioned now in Jesus' name to go and be the army of God, to go and serve out your purpose, to go and just redeem that which was broken in our city. For the Lord Jesus, you are ambassadors called to redeem the brokenhearted for the Lord, to replace ashes and mourning with joy and gladness, to see those who are broken become oaks of righteousness, ready to rebuild the ancient ruins of the city. You are called to a great and mighty work. Receive it in Jesus' name. Go and do it in the name of Jesus. Now say, I will never be the same. I am committed to your desires, Lord, to your call in my life. I am yours and you are mine. I am your daughter or son. And you are my father. I am not an orphan. In Jesus' name. I belong to you. Daddy. Amen.